Are you tired of office politics derailing your projects? How much time and energy are you really wasting on office drama instead of delivering on what you came to deliver, which is outcomes and results? Imagine being that project manager who everyone trusts, everyone respects, everyone relies on, and you have the opportunity to deliver that. In today's episode, we are going to share, or I should say, I'm going to share some battle-tested strategies I've developed over a decade in the trenches of this thing that's called project management. These are not just theories, because you know we do pragmatic, real-life case stories here to help you become a better, if not exceptional, project manager. Do you mind if I share a story with you? As I was thinking about today's episode, it reminded me of the time when I was in a meeting and I had a manager of a stakeholder that we were working with say, hey, ED, or I should say, he said, Edward. So I already knew what was about to happen here. He said, Edward, I'm a little concerned here. I'm not getting the meeting minutes. I'm not understanding where this project at. I just don't know what is going on here. Why haven't I been on any of the correspondence? And why haven't I been involved? And sometimes, family, we can get in our own way by addressing someone so quickly because, of course, he was out of order. Matter of fact, he shouldn't have said what he said, but he said it. And it's up to me to address it in a professional manner and unpack it and break it down so he can understand. First of all, if we're really being honest here, family, his direct report should have been keeping him updated, if anything, because he's a stakeholder of this project. Second of all, when I went back to go do my homework, because you know I do my homework, he was on every meeting recap. He was on every meeting invite. He had access to the real-time dashboard. But it's sometimes, family, people will point fingers at you because of the fact that they weren't paying attention. And this is a political move that you have to pay attention to. So today's episode is really, I'm going to go deep and unpack these. I'm not going to take too much of your time, but I really think it's important. If you get into this thing that I love, that I hope you fall in love with called project management, you have to understand one thing. You must keep your head, as my uncle would say, on a swivel. Why do you want to keep it on a swivel? It's because of the fact that a lot of times we can get caught up in what someone is saying and don't have it documented well. So this is why when we talk through today's various points, I want to make sure that you take away at minimum three of these points that we're going to discover. So let's get into it today. All right. Point number one, you want to develop a strong network. Why do I say develop a strong network? You want to be able to have people to speak up for you when you're not there. This is one of those things that we, a lot of times project managers don't share because of the fact of when you have, they always say your network is your net worth. And I believe that translates into corporate America. When you have a strong network that truly has your back, your side, and your front, you know that if you're not in the meeting, it's not about gossiping. It's about saying, hey, you know what, AD, you might want to watch your back on this particular thing, meaning that you might want to meet the meeting recap out sooner, or you want to make sure that the schedule is really up to date. I know you like doing it at the end of the day, but they're complaining, saying this and that. This is what I am talking about, giving you feedback, not gossip, but feedback, because there's difference. And sometimes people won't feel comfortable giving you constructive feedback or feedback because they don't like conflict. And so as a project manager, you have to embrace conflict. You have to be ready for it. So that's why I always say develop a strong network. Building relationships across all levels of the organization is going to be crucial. I always recommend attending company events. I know you may not want to be there, but you need to be there. Joining cross-functional teams. Engaging in just casual conversation. Hey, Bob, how was your weekend? Oh, how's your daughter Jan doing? I remember you telling me last time we spoke, she was getting ready to graduate high school, and I know you were as excited. Are you guys throwing a party for her? I mean, this is very, sometimes I truly believe things that are so simple, we'll overcomplicate it, and we don't do. Let's move into the next point. Point number two, you know I'm going to have communication. This is what the Magnetic Project Manager was built on, which is communicate strategically. What does that mean? First of all, you need to know your audience. Second of all, you want to tailor your message to your audience. And when you are talking with IT teams or people that are very technical, you want to speak in that language. When you're speaking with people that are non-technical, you want to be able to take the technical jargon and boil it down so they can understand. When you're speaking with executive, you want to be able, what you're looking for is dialogue, meaning that you want to speak from a high level and create a conversation of them asking you questions, but still giving them enough information to know where the project is. What I always recommend is prevent when you are thinking about giving, you know, having to talk to different audience, prepare different versions of your project updates or proposals, because this is going to resonate with your stakeholder. If you gave your stakeholders that you're working with day in and day out in a high level overview, they'll be like, yeah, that's cool, but I need more information, because of the fact they're not looking to have that type of engagement all the time. They need to know what they need to do so they can go off and do it, which is respectful. Let's move on to point number three. You already know I'm coming with this one. Document everything. As we say here, documentation beats conversation each and every single day. So keep detailed records of your decisions, your agreements. One of the things that I love using is a RAID Q log. What does that acronym stand for? Risk, action items, issues, decisions, and of course, questions. So you want to use this. This protects you from any alleged misunderstandings. As I was sharing with you when I was dealing with one of these managers where they were telling me, hey, why am I not on this email? Why am I not on that? And when we went and pulled the receipts, it said something different, because I always make sure that when you say these are the stakeholder, this is the audience, that I am documenting who's there and who's not there. Because what can happen is to say, well, I don't recall having that meeting. Oh, well, no worries. Let me pull that up. And one thing I like about Teams, it will tell you who was there, how long, what time they got there, and what time they actually left. So again, family, look at ways to document everything. And I know it's a lot of extra work, but it will pay off in the end. Let's move on to point number four. Learn to say no diplomatically. Ooh, I like that. Let me tell you why I like that. Sometimes you're going to be faced with unreasonable requests, especially on the scope. They want to create this amazing, elaborate scope that is not even what the customer is asking for or the business has agreed upon. So you to be cautious of that, or to be respectful of that, so you don't run into scope creep, you need to explain to your stakeholders how is it going to impact the triple constraints. We know the triple constraints being what? Quality and, of course, scope. So you want to make sure, because any one of those areas that are impacted is going to impact another area. So if time is impacted, then of course, we know that the cost may be impacting. So I want to recommend to you, family, is learn having the ability to say diplomatically is going to help you, further along. You know, I don't want to use the word cower down, but don't be passive. But I'm saying deliver what you're going to say in a way that's professional and respectful, and help the person to understand, oh, I like this, watch this. The why of the reason why you can't just go and add additional scope or make this a massive scope that is not what we originally, that we're trying to move the customer toward. Let's move on to point number five. Point number five, be a problem solver. You know, one of my favorite quotes is by Myron Gold. And if you guys ask me, not Myron Gold, I'm sorry, Dr. Miles Monroe. Myron Gold is another guy that I follow and I admire. But Miles Monroe had a quote about being a problem solver. If you want to ping me in the chat and or send me an email, and I'll give you that quote, because I really believe I keep this quote in front of me every day because of the fact of what we're about to talk about here. Being a problem solver, when you are running to the problem instead of running away from it, I shouldn't say I promise you. I implore you, or I encourage you to know that people are always going to work with you, because what they're going to say is, oh, when he comes in here, he's going to look at the problem. And then right away, boom, we're focusing on solution. We can't keep beating ourselves up and say, man, if we would have done this, if this would have happened or that. It's done with. Now we have to find a resolution to this particular problem that we're faced with. So you always want a proactive approach when you are looking at solving problems. You're not gonna catch every problem that's gonna come your way, because when you are leading a project, it is a temporary endeavor. So if it's a temporary endeavor, there's gonna be a lot of unknowns. And when there are unknowns, you may bump up against things that you weren't prepared for, but right away you wanna go into a problem-solving type framework that you can apply consistently, effectively, and ensure that you're able to handle those challenges. Let's move on to point number six. You want to build a reputation of being reliable. What does reliable look like? Consistently being committed to the thing you said you were going to do. If you said you were going to start at 8:30 in the morning, you need to start at 8:30 in the morning and be consistent in that. It's going to continue to be a bridge between various stakeholders, and they're coming to you and leaning on you. You need to be committed to that. You want to develop a commitment that allows you to be consistent in which, ooh, watch this, family, it allow you to have a reputation of being reliable. I don't know about you, but you know when you have a reliable friend, anytime you call that friend, if they don't answer, they will call you back when they get in a position to call you back. But those non-reliable friends, you'll call them again and again and again, and you don't hear anything. A month or 2 months later, you hear from me, you like, man, I forgot what I needed to talk to you about. So I say all that to say, it's very important to really create a track record of being dependable, because this will earn you respect from your peers, as well as from various stakeholders that are part of this project, as well as your colleagues, most of all. So family, I really encourage you. This is a huge point. I really believe when you build a reputation for being reliable, meaning that you're showing up, you may not have all the answers, but you're there. You know, most of the times where I outwork people, and I'm not trying to impress you, as Les Brown would say, but I'm trying to impress upon you, is how I've outworked people is just showing up. Like, most people won't show up. I didn't have the answers. I didn't know what was going on. I just showed up and said, hey, I'm here to help. How can I help? What can we do collaboratively to resolve this problem? Or what can I do to get this stakeholder on a call? What do you need from me? And that is huge. When you're there, sometimes people feel like, oh, I just got to know all the answers. I got to be super smart. No, this has nothing to do with intelligence. Show up. All right, I'm sorry, fam. I drained that point too long. Point number seven, practice discretion. I always said that project manager, psychologist, like a clinical, practitioner when it comes to, because you have to keep like a wall up. Like, you'll have a stakeholder that may say something out about another stakeholder. And if you fall victim, or I say fall for what the honey trap of saying, well, I'm going to tell Bob what John over here just said. And you may not know Bob and John have a relationship, and they may just be testing you to see, can you, if I share something with you, can you discreetly just leave it where it was at between you and I? Or are you going to go and gossip to someone else? Because again, if someone gives you confidential information, as long as it's ethical, as long as it's not an impact to the organization or yourself, then it should stay between you two. Because what you have to understand, family, is you have to really build a relationship. As I shared with on the very first point about how it's important of building a network. How can you build a network of people if you can't get them to trust you? So you want them to trust you because of the fact of you have the ability to keep things confidential. One of the things my mom would always say, she would say, hey, son, what happens in this house stays in this house. Easy said than done. And that's one of the things I live by in this thing called project management, is that if a stakeholder tells me something, as long as, like I said, again, my disclaimers, as long as it's not an impact to myself, the organization, or the person they're talking about that's going to cause harm, then there's nothing I need to say or do. Let's move on to point number eight. Master the art of compromise. I struggled with this for a while, family, but I've learned that it's important to be able to create those win-win solutions in negotiation. So understand others' motivations and be willing to make some concessions to achieve a larger goal. Don't get caught up, you know, One of the things I learned very early, and I'm being very transparent when I'm going to say this, is struggle with between battles and wars. You know, sometimes you want to win the battle that you forget about winning the actual war. And if you become so greedy in negotiation, when it comes back around again, then the person that you were greedy with, they're not going to want to negotiate with you. They may not even really want to do more future business with you because of the fact that you were too greedy up front. So you have to, as a project manager, is to find compromises with people. And that sometimes it can be very irritating, especially if you're someone that creates a need or for urgency, meaning, hey, if you reached out to me and I'm on the clock and I'm going to respond if especially if I have the bandwidth, or at least say, hey, give me an hour or give me 30 minutes because I'm working on something. But when I don't hear anything from you, now I become frustrated. And sometimes, family, you just have to do this. Just breathe. All right, let's move on to the bonus. You want to be able to manage stakeholders' expectation. One key things I always learned and always say is that reason people get frustrated is because they have a set expectation in their mind. They may have not discussed these expectations with you. They may not have these conversations with you, but it's a set expectation that they have. So you have to figure out what those set expectations are and work, especially with stakeholders, and understand them. And what we always say, documentation beats conversation, and document them so we're all aligned. I got one more bonus for you, family. One of the biggest things, you know, no judgment here. I got little ears, but still, I know how to practice active listening. Stop getting in the routine of already formulating an answer before someone even finished telling you what the issue or what is actually going on. I see a lot of project managers doing that, and instead of just actually listening to everything and then forming a thought around everything that you heard, you already coming down and thinking of answers, and you may miss something along in the actual journey. Family, I got three closing remarks, and you know my deal. I am out of here. Point number one, understand the boundaries to develop a strong network. It's going to be very imperative that you develop a strong network, because like I said, you want somebody to have your back, your side, and your front too. Point number two, be a problem solver. Find ways to address issues. Don't get caught up so much in a problem that you lose sight of the solution. And point number three, documentation beats everything, or I should say beats conversation. So document everything so you can make sure you can hold people accountable, even yourself. Hey, I go by the name of ED. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. I enjoyed delivering it. Thank you so much for this opportunity. Until next time, I'm out.